Luke chapter 2 in your Bible. Luke chapter 2. Appreciate the effort and the time put into providing special music for this season from the ladies on the instruments. Luke chapter 2, verses 16 through 19 be our text tonight. Simple thought for this Christmas season. Luke 2, 16 through 19. Let's stand together, please. If you'd join me on the odd verses, 17 and 19, I'll read for us verses 16 and 18. Luke 2, 16 through 19. The Bible says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Thank you, dear Father, for this season again, for Jesus who came. Bless the simple thoughts from your book to our hearts tonight. And Lord, again, we thrill at the songs, the lights, the decorations, the whole fellowship, and all that goes with Christmas. But our hearts thrill most that you sent your Son. We appreciate that. What a great gift. Help us tonight as we think on these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, BC. Appreciate you singing for us while you're home. Rick's the Lord's given Rick a wonderful voice. I'm glad he's training to use it for his glory. Amen. That's very good tonight. Verse number 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." I want to speak on the subject tonight. Christmas is safe. Christmas is safe. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us. We do worship the Lord and thank you for the baby and praise you, Jesus, for coming. Bless our thoughts in your word tonight. Help us through the message and we'll give you the honor and glory. May our hearts be ready to receive it. Lord, some are in no condition tonight to receive the word from God. Lord, minds are occupied and so much worry and anxiety about what's going to happen this week or what happened last week. But many have come with an open heart, ready to receive, I hope, Lord, the message from your book. May you help me to deliver it, please. So be a help to everybody. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Verse 19, all these things. The word things is kind of a generic word at times. Things. I guess sometimes I try to avoid just using the word Try to get the fellows at Providence to avoid just using, you know, I'm going to tell you some things. I want to preach to you about some things and be more specific rather than generic. Yet the Bible uses the word things often, and it does here in this text. Mary kept all these things. What things? What things? Well, I believe it's talking about all the things that happened surrounding this child's birth. All the extraordinary circumstances, all the extraordinary events that took place before, during, and after the birth of Jesus Christ. And when you think about it, friend, they are extraordinary. You think about the announcement that came to Mary from Gabriel. I talked about that this morning just a little bit. You know, it's become so familiar to us now, we don't take time to really think about it, but here's a young Jewish girl who's living for God, and I mean, her life is consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. She's pure as the driven snow. And now she's going to have a baby? You can feel it in her question. How shall this be? This can't be. All the emotions that must have flooded her mind and heart. And as I said this morning, her sweet submission to the will of God, even though she knew it would cost her. That's why some people don't want anything to do with the old-fashioned fundamental brand of old separated Christianity, friend, because I'm going to tell you something, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. She sweetly submitted to it. Then she had to tell Joseph, her fiancé, I'm going to have a baby. What he must have felt. We know how he felt. Being a just man, he pondered putting her away privately. I gotta divorce her. I gotta put her away. She's broken the law here and done wrong. And I can put her away, but I want to do it without embarrassing her and bringing as little shame as possible. All that Joseph went through. And then he is visited by the angel. And Brother Terry, she keeps making noise. You'll have to slip out with her, please. I appreciate that. Thank you. He's visited by the angel. And he's comforted and finds out that this thing is of God and it will be okay. And he accepts it and he understands the same criticism and the same scrutiny that they're going to come under. And he submits to it. So here you got these two Jewish kids, this Jewish boy and this Jewish girl. They're not married. They're engaged. She's carrying a baby. He's with her. The baby is not his, but the baby is no man's. And everywhere they go, people just shake their heads. They expect us to believe that. Now, folks, that went on for as long as that baby was showing. Maybe that's why she took refuge in Elizabeth's house for a while. She was there a good long time. 3 months, I believe. Then it came time to go to Bethlehem, pay the taxes, and she's weeks away, days away from having a baby. She's got to make that long, arduous journey down to Bethlehem from Nazareth where they lived, and just to have and to pay the taxes. And they got to that crowded town full and there was no room, and they went from end to end. I suppose we're not told how many inns there were in Bethlehem. In fact, the word is singular. There was no room for them in the inn. Maybe there was only one place, but be it one or ten, there was no room. She's going into labor. You say, well, she was the Christ child. I believe she felt everything any woman who's had a baby in this church would feel. Felt every contraction. No epidurals. No epidurals. No shots and all that, nothing that, just all the labor pain. Joseph, we've got to find a place. This baby's coming. And finally, in desperation, they're taken to shelter in a stable. There amongst amongst the animals, the Bible doesn't say that, but that's where they kept animals in the stable. There amongst the stable, amongst the animals, she delivers that little child. They get some old swaddling clothes, clean the baby up the best they can, lay him evidently on a bed of straw in a manger, a little creche there that the sheep would feed out of for the cattle. And then, she just had a baby. Hello, hello. Isn't that what you want, ladies? Visitors? Huh?
You know, you kind of like, you know, kind of your husband's there and maybe your parents come in, you know, and okay, it's wonderful and great. Maybe even the grandparents come in and everything. But you know, a few minutes of that and you're ready to be left alone. You know, you've been going through it. It's time to just, you know, relax and be quiet and be alone. And by the way, we're not talking about the most cultured, men, and they're men. And one thing to have a lady come in. But these are men. And we're not, you know, I remember my wife, well, there was a family that her dad reached on the bus route out of Riverside, had three boys, Brad, Gail, and Shannon Russell. Brad, Gail, and Shannon. And they all came real, real faithfully, and they all three got in the youth group. And I think one of them went on to Bible college for a little while, and one of them went somewhere else to work in a ministry somewhere or something. But I forget how it all ended up. But their dad finally got saved, and old Charlie just started coming to church. He was saved. He's a pretty rough old boy, you know, and got saved out of you know, some pretty rough stuff. But he was just getting started in church, and he worked at St. Mary, at Mercy Hospital or University Hospital, one of the two hospitals in Iowa City. And I forget which one of the children it was born, you know. And, you know, I stayed for a little bit. When Luke was born, he was born at 7:32. It's like 7:28, 7:30 on Wednesday night, right at the time for the Wednesday night service. There was no way to get back for it. So I stayed a good long time. But with Hannah, Ben, and Abby, I didn't stay long. In fact, Abby was born on a Sunday morning. And I went and taught my class and did my stuff. And probably shouldn't have done that in retrospect, but I was young and did. She hasn't forgiven me for it to this day. Amen. So you know, she's in there. The baby's only hours old, and you know, she's ready to relax. And in walks Charlie Russell, Joyce. You know, here's a man, newly saved man, you know, and smells like a smokestack, you know, and he comes in to see it. I'll never forget, boy, just it's not that she didn't, but it just wasn't a time for men visitors, amen. So here's come these shepherds, and they were, shepherding was carried on by the, if you want to call it caste, the lowest caste of people in this day and age. And they came with their story and want to see the baby. And who are you? Well, we want to see the, what are you doing here? Well, the angel came and told us. What? Yeah. The angel came and told us. And then after he told us, the whole sky filled up with a whole angelic choir singing. Told us to come here and we could find the baby. And that's what we've come to do. And we've come to, boy, this chattering and jabbering and chattering and jabbering. All these things. Mary kept them. Guarded them. Pondered them. Thought about them. And over again. Turned them over and over again. And she kept it in the safest. You know, and mothers don't forget the birth of their children. You moms can tell us every little detail about the birth of those children. Every one of them. You remember it well. She kept all these things in her heart. You see, all the things surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ were safe because Mary kept them where no one could get to them. She kept them in her heart. Now, with all the effort in our nation today to prohibit the celebration of Christmas, I believe Christmas is safe. I really do. It may not be safe in our culture. Although, I'll tell you what, according to my wife, it seemed like some of the retail stores made a greater effort this year to really use the word Christmas than they did last year. Somebody said Target had a great big banner up, Merry Christmas. Now, still you see the happy holiday nonsense. All that. And I guess there are places where you can't display a nativity scene and all of that. And I don't know what's going to happen as far as our culture goes, folks, but I want to tell you something. Christmas will always be safe if it's kept in our hearts. It's where Mary kept hers. In our hearts. You see, no liberal lawmaker can write a law and no liberal judge can enforce a law that prohibits Christmas in our hearts. Christmas is safe in my heart. Christmas is safe in your heart. I think all the decorations and other things that go with Christmas this time of the year, I think the food and the tree and the food and the lights and the food and the decoration and the food and the fellowship, and I think the food is really wonderful this time of the year. Don't you say amen to that? Amen. Yes. I think that's wonderful. But those things you really can't keep in your heart. How do you keep lights in your heart? You don't keep food in your heart, you keep it in your stomach. And if you eat too much, you keep too much in your stomach. Amen. The spirit of Christmas is what we keep in our hearts. It's not the tree, it's not the lights, it's not the decorations, it's not all the festivity and the songs, even though they're wonderful. It's the spirit of Christmas that's safe in our hearts. When I think about the spirit of Christmas, I think of, number one, the spirit of giving. The spirit of giving. I think the biggest thing about this giving is heaven gave and earth received. God gave and mankind received. And it wasn't a leftover double gift. Did you ever use one of those that you got two of the same year for Christmas and you thought about taking it back, but you thought, no, I'll just stick it back there and next year I'll give it to. And you wrapped it up, gave it to somebody, and boy, they thought you were wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all that you went to the effort and expense to do this. Thank you. You just smiled and shook your head. Amen. And you give them that. It wasn't that, friend. It wasn't a leftover double gift. It was the best God had to give. Heaven gave, earth received. Paul quoted Jesus in Acts chapter 20 as saying, and it's never recorded in the Gospels, but it is in the book of Acts chapter 20. He quoted Jesus as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I like what that verse said. You know, there is a certain blessedness in receiving. Brother Marty, you don't do King's Kids for that. You haven't done anything like that for 15 years. But it kind of blessed your heart, didn't it? Sure it did. There's a blessedness in receiving. You folks are kind to me. I get cards and little packages to take home. And, you know, there's a you'd be lying. I don't like to get anything. Liar. You're a liar. You're putting on a show. Sure you'd like to get something. Everybody likes to be on the receiving end of somebody's generosity. And you know that can be a very blessed thing. You know that being on the receiving end of someone's generosity can be a very encouraging thing. Sometimes it's not monetary. Sometimes it's just a sincere word. A warm handshake. I've been thinking about you. Or just, I've been praying for you. Or just, you've been on my mind, my heart. See, giving doesn't always have to be associated with money. There are a lot of ways to give. And people who are on the receiving end of that kind of generosity and kindness is a very blessed thing. I don't like to read lengthy passages or scripts to you from the pulpit because I think it's too hard to pay attention. But I'm going to put that aside tonight. I'm going to put what I don't like aside tonight to read you a very touching story that was compiled by Dr. Curtis Hudson years ago before he went to heaven. It's called A Thrilling Christmas Time on the Frontier. And it's written by a pastor's wife, a homesteading pastor's wife, back in the pioneer days of our country when they were making their way west across what would be America, and homesteading, and you know the story, the pioneer days. And she wrote this. She wrote, I remember a day, one unusually cold winter, that stands out like a boulder in my life. Our salary had not been regularly paid, and it did not meet our needs when it was. My husband was away much of the time, traveling from one district to another. Our boys were well, but my little Ruth was ailing, and at best, none of us were decently clothed. I patched and repatched with spirits sinking to the lowest ebb. The water gave out in the well and the wind blew through the cracks in the floor. The people in the parish were kind and generous, but the settlement was new and each family was struggling for itself. Little by little, at the time I needed it most, my faith began to waver. Early in life, I had been taught to take God at His word. And I thought that my lesson was well learned. I had lived upon the promises in dark times until I knew, as David did, who was my fortress and deliverer. Now, a daily prayer for forgiveness was all that I could offer. My husband's overcoat was hardly thick enough for October. And he was often obliged to ride miles to attend some meeting or funeral. Many times our breakfast was Indian cake with a cup of tea without sugar. Christmas was coming. The children always expected their presents. I remember that the ice was thick and smooth and that the boys were each craving a pair of skates. Ruth, in some unaccountable way, had taken a fancy that the dolls I made were no longer suitable. She wanted a nice large one and insisted on praying for it. I knew it was impossible. But oh, how I wanted to give each child his present. It seemed as if God had deserted us, but I did not tell my husband all this. He worked so earnestly and heartily that I supposed him to be as hopeful as ever. I kept the sitting room cheerful with an open fire and tried to serve our scanty meals as invitingly as I could. The morning before Christmas, James was called to see a sick man. I gave him a piece of bread for his lunch, the best I could do. Wrapped my plaid shawl around his neck and then tried to whisper a promise as often I had. But the words died away on my lips. I let him go off without it. That was a dark, hopeless day. I coaxed the children to bed early, for I could not bear their talk. When Ruth went, I listened to her prayer. She asked for the last time most explicitly for her doll and for skates for her brothers. Her bright face looked so lovely when she whispered to me, "You know, I think they'll be here early tomorrow morning, Mama." I thought I could move heaven and earth to save her from that disappointment. I sat down alone and gave way to the most bitter tears. Before long, James returned, chilled and exhausted. He drew off his boots. The thin stockings slipped off with them, and his feet were red with cold. "I wouldn't treat a dog that way, let alone a faithful servant," I said. Then as I glanced up and saw the hard lines in his face and the look of despair, I realized that James had let go too. I brought him a cup of tea, feeling sick and dizzy at the very thought. He took my hand and we sat for an hour without a word. I wanted to die and meet God and tell him that his promise wasn't true. My soul was so full of rebellious despair. By and by, there came a sound of bells. A quick step, a loud knock at the door. James sprang to open it. There stood Deacon White. "A box came by express just before dark. I brought it around as soon as I could get away. Reckoned it might be for Christmas. At any rate, I thought to myself, they shall have it tonight. Here is a turkey my wife asked me to fetch along, and these other things, I believe, belong to you." There were a basket of potatoes and a bag of flour. Talking all the time, he hurried in the box, and then with a hearty good night, he rode away. Speechless, James found the chisel and opened the box. He drew out first a thick red blanket, and we saw beneath it the box was full of clothing. It seemed at that moment as if Christ had fastened upon me a look of reproach. James sat down and covered his face with his hands. "I can't touch them," he said. "I haven't been true. Just when God was trying to see if I could hold out, do you think I could not see how you were suffering? I had no word of comfort to offer. I know not how to preach the awfulness of turning away from. I know now how to preach the awfulness of turning away from God." "James," I said, clinging to him, "don't take it to heart like this. I am to blame. I ought to have helped you. We will ask him together to forgive us. "Wait a minute, dear. I cannot talk now." Then he went into another room. I knelt down and my heart broke. In an instant, all the darkness, all the stubbornness rolled away. Jesus came again and stood before me with the loving word, "Daughter." Sweet promises of tenderness and joy flooded my soul. I was so lost in praise and gratitude that I forgot everything else. I do not know how long it was before James came back, but I knew that he too had found peace. "Now, my dear wife," he said, "let us thank God together." Then he poured out words of praise, Bible words. For nothing else could express our thanksgiving. It was 11 o'clock. The fire was low and there was the great box with nothing touched but the warm blanket we needed. We piled on some fresh logs, lighted two candles, and began to examine our treasure. We drew out an overcoat. I made James try it on, just the right size. And I danced around him, for all my lightheartedness had returned. Then there was a cloak. And he insisted on seeing me, and my spirits always infected him. And we both laughed like foolish children. There was a warm suit of clothes also, and 3 pairs of woolen hose. There was a dress for me, and yards of flannel, a pair of Arctic overshoes for each of us. And in mine, in those shoes, a slip of paper. I have it now, and I mean to hand it down to my children. It was Moses' blessing to Asher from Deuteronomy. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In the gloves, evidently for James, the same dear hand had written from Isaiah, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. It was a wonderful box and packed with thoughtful care. There was a suit of clothes for each of the boys and a little red gown for Ruth. There were mittens, scarves, and hoods, and down in the center, a box. We opened it, and there was a great wax doll. I burst into tears again, and James wept with me for joy. It was too much. And then we both exclaimed again, for close behind it came 2 pairs of skates. There were books for us to read. Some of them I had wished to see, stories for the children to read, aprons and underclothing, knots of ribbon, a lovely photograph, needles, buttons, and thread, actually a muff and an envelope containing a $10 gold piece. At last we cried over everything. It was past midnight. We were faint and exhausted, even with happiness. I made a cup of tea, cut a fresh loaf of the bread, and James boiled some eggs. We drew up the table before the fire, how we enjoyed our supper. And then we sat talking over our life and how sure a help God always proved. You should have seen the children the next morning. The boys raised a shout at the sight of the skates. Ruth caught up her doll, hugged it tightly without a word. Then she went to her room, knelt by her bed. When she came back, she whispered to me, I knew it would be here, Mama, but I wanted to thank God just the same. We went to the window. There were the boys out of the house already and skating on the crust with all their might. My husband and I both tried to return thanks to the church in the East that sent us the box, but we have returned thanks unto God every day since then. It's a blessing to be on the receiving end of somebody's generosity. A blessing. But then he said this. He said, he didn't say it wasn't blessed to receive. He said it was more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, the blessing of receiving is doubled, quadrupled, multiplied when you're on the giving end. And that's the spirit of Christmas. It's fun to receive, but that's not the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is to give. Give to God. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Give of your treasure. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving. And as long as you and I hold that spirit in our hearts and learn to give of ourselves, Christmas is safe. Doesn't matter what they do in Washington, D.C. Doesn't matter what Walmart does. Doesn't matter what other stores, what other liberal corporations do. Doesn't matter what liberal judge inks his name. As long as the spirit of giving is in our hearts, Christmas is safe, friend. It's safe. When I think about the spirit of Christmas, I also think about the spirit of worship. The spirit of worship. Let me show you something here tonight. I don't know, maybe you've seen it before, but my mind's just been drawn to it these last few days. Look at every time in Luke 1 and 2, somebody found out about the Christ child. Look at chapter 1, verse 41. Chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That's how Elizabeth responded. Now look at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, right there. how Mary responded. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Look at chapter 1, verses 67 and 68. Now it's Zacharias. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And you know, I've never seen this before. How many times have you read the Christmas story? They weren't singing to the shepherds. They were praising God. The angelic band who joined that angel, they began to praise God. And they began to sing not to the shepherds. They began to sing to God. Glory to God in the highest. That's what they did. I've never seen that before. Look at verse number 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And it doesn't stop. Look at verse number 27 of chapter 2. Here's Simeon in the temple, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, Simeon did. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said," verses all down through there, he's praising God. And then verses 37 and 38, talking about Anna, and she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now look at folks, Elizabeth, Mary, Zacharias, angels, shepherds, Simeon, Anna. What was the response? Worship. That was the response. It was all worship. It was praise God. It was thank God. It was worship God. That's the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas, again, is not found in the tree, and I'm for it, the lights, and I'm for it, the decorations, I'm for it, and all the gaiety, I am for that. But the spirit of Christmas is the spirit of worship. All these folks responded by glorifying and praising and blessing and worshiping God. That's the spirit of Christmas. When you think about the fact that Christ came, you know, truly the songwriter penned it best when he said, "Oh, come, let us," what? Adore. That's Christmas. That's the spirit of Christmas. Let us adore Him. Now you spend some time, if you haven't already, these next few days, worshiping God in your heart. Catch the spirit of Elizabeth. Catch the spirit of Zacharias. Catch the spirit of Mary, of Joseph, of the angels, of the shepherds, of Simeon, and of Anna. Don't catch the spirit of this world. Catch the spirit of these godly people. The spirit of worship. If you haven't already, at some point in these next days, worship Him. Adore Him. Love Him. Thank Him. As long as the spirit of Christmas, and that's the spirit of giving and the spirit of worship, as long as the spirit of giving and the spirit of worship is kept in our hearts, it really doesn't matter what Walmart does. And it really doesn't matter what liberal lawmakers write. And it really doesn't matter what liberal judges enforce. And you try to fight for keeping it, of course. As long as it's in your heart, as long as it's in my heart. "Oh, Pastor, I got the spirit of Christmas. We got a tree and I got presents." Come on. That's not the spirit of Christmas. Come on. Are we all so caught up? Are we all so caught up in that we've missed it? The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving. Not just a box wrapped in pretty paper. Giving yourself to God. Giving yourself to each other. And the spirit of worship. As long as that's in your heart and my heart, Christmas is safe. No Grinch. We'll take it away. Christmas is safe if it's in your heart. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Do you have the spirit of giving? Do you? You have the spirit of worship. Has there been some quiet moment these last few days when your heart was filled with adoration? Has there been some quiet moment when you just took time to reflect and praise Him and thank Him and bless Him? The spirit of worship. As long as that spirit is alive and well in my heart and your heart, friend, Christmas is safe. Don't get so caught up in the festivities and fun that you miss the true meaning. Oh, come, let us adore Him. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Christmas season again. We don't want to be redundant when we say that. We mean it. You gave to us. Now help us give to You. Help us give to each other. Our heart, our time, our talent, our treasure. Help us, Lord, to invest in the lives of others. To serve You. And God, give us the spirit of worship. And I pray scattered across this room, the next several days, we'll find people worshiping You. In a quiet moment, early in the morning or late at night. Maybe with the tree lights on and all the kids in bed. Everything off. Along with our thoughts and our heart. Let us adore You. Thank You for coming. This old sin-cursed earth. Thank You for salvation. May we truly adore You this Christmas. And keep Christmas safe. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, this is a great time. I can't think of a better time of the year to trust Christ as your Savior. This is it. If you're not saved, make your way down the front. Brother Jason will help you find somebody that can show you how to be saved. Do you have the Spirit? Is Christmas safe in your heart? Is it? Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Praise the Lord. Christmas safe in your heart is the spirit of giving. It's the spirit of worship.